Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're going to talk about Sarah going back to school, and Ryan and I are going to go to Provincetown, and there's a reason that we're going to Provincetown, which I don't know that I've told you yet, but I was like yesterday, I was looking and I was like, we're going to go on the 22nd, which is a Friday. Ryan's already taking off Friday. I could ask him just to take off Saturday and we could just spend the weekend in Provincetown. Mm-hmm. So we are going to Provincetown on the 22nd of August to stay in a hotel Friday night, Saturday, and then check out on Sunday. And we're going to Provincetown to see Miss Coco Peru in her one night show in Provincetown.
Oh my God.
And I paid for meet and greet tickets. So we're going to meet and greet Miss Coco Peru.
Oh my God. I love Coco Peru.
I know. I'm excited. We're very excited. And I was just like, you know, we're going, we haven't gone on like a trip or taken like aside to go see the family. We haven't really done anything to kind of stay away and take time off. I was like, we're going. Why not just rent a hotel room and stay there for the weekend? Because Provincetown is one of the gayest towns in the United States. And we went there, but we spent a couple hours there. We didn't spend like all day.
Right.
So we're going to experience Provincetown and see Miss Coco Peru and her one night show, which is called, I just looked it up yesterday. It's called Fuck This Shit. But it's F-U-C-Q, this S-H, exclamation point T. So right. Fuck this shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm excited about it. So we're getting excited. I bought some tension tamer tea that we're going to take to give to her because she always talks about tension tamer tea in her videos. And
yeah.
So, I bought shirts for both of us to wear from her store online. So we both have different shirts. Ryan was like, we can't wear the same shirt. I was like, no, I totally agree.
Fair, reasonable.
So that's wow. Exciting.
I love that. I'm so excited. Please, when you meet her, tell her hello for me.
I'm going to. Oh, I also didn't tell you. I just did it last night. I bought these postcards that I'm going to send you. I bought 100 of them, so I'm going to send you 50 of them. And I'm going to make a basket with the Tension Tamer tea and put one of the postcards in there. And it has like the our show on it. And then like the days that it comes out on Fridays and our email address, our phone number, and our website. And then also the QR codes to listen on Apple Podcast or Spotify.
I love that.
So I'm going to send you 50 of them. I haven't gone and picked them up. I just literally like 10 minutes ago got the notification that they are printed and ready for pickup at Staples.
Woo.
So I'm going to go get those and then sometime next week, because by the time this ends and then I go get them, if I go get them today, the post office around here will probably be closed by then because they close at 5.
Fair.
So we'll see. I also have to put together an entertainment table. It's like TV stand, basically, for the spare bedroom, and put the TV that we've had sitting in the corner for since we moved in here on top of it, because Ryan's mom is coming to visit and she's going to stay with us. She comes next Tuesday to come and stay. So that's going to be fun. She'll be here for, I think he said she's, I don't know if she's staying with us the entire time because his niece is also staying around here. She is staying in a hotel that's closer to the Walmart that she is helping. I don't remember what she does, but she basically like redoes their layouts for different Walmarts. So she travels and like redoes their layouts. And she works in the evening. So if they're doing like a makeover, or not a makeover, a renovation or changing their shelves or something like that, she helps with that.
Okay.
So she's staying in somewhere around here. It's like, it's closer to Quincy, so it's closer to my job than it actually is our apartment. So her mom might stay here for a few nights or stay here for a few days and then stay with his niece for a few days. And she's here until the 16th, I think, is when she flies back.
Okay, cool.
So that'll be fun. So that's my stuff in 5 minutes. Took me 5 minutes to talk about all the fun things that we're doing over the next couple weeks.
Wow. That's so much.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though. I don't have nearly as much because I'm a little boring. But I did get my under desk bike.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes. So I have been clearing out the area under the desk so that it'll fit, so I can test it out before I take it with me to work.
What else is under the desk?
So there's
not there's that desk, the one at your work. Why does it matter what's at your desk?
Oh, no. Like, there's nothing under the desk at work, but I want to test it out here.
Oh, got it.
Before I take it to work. It's only 6 pounds, though.
Yeah, that's what you said last episode.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So you'll actually get to use it at work and make sure it fits. I think the one thing that I'm worried about with it being only 6 pounds is it's going to move a lot when you're trying to use it, so it's not going to be as effective because you're going to be struggling to keep it in one spot.
Yeah, that's the reason why I want to test it out.
Yeah,
at home first. But yeah, and then I'm going back to school. I'm finally going to get my bachelor's degree.
That's exciting.
I know, I'm excited. I'm going to University of Maryland Global Campus, which, funnily enough, they actually do have a physical location here in Texas. They have multiple, like, physical locations across the world for this particular university. So if I wanted to do hybrid classes, I technically could. I'm not going to, because the closest one to me is in Killeen, and that's like an hour away.
No.
But still, though, pretty cool. I'm obviously going for an English degree because I probably have the best chance of getting that done sooner.
Yeah.
The good news is I've already done all the work for financial aid, because I did some work. I had filled out all of my financial aid documents at the beginning of the year, just in case I wanted to go back to school. So, like, FAFSA and everything, that was already done.
No.
But, yeah. So, classes start on the 13th. I am currently signed up for one class because I'm waiting to hear back from my advisor. Because it looks like I submitted transcripts from both Ivy Tech, where I graduated, and ACC. But the ACC ones had to be mailed. Like, it didn't give me an option to send it electronically.
That's annoying.
Right? And my Ivy Tech did send electronically, but it doesn't look like it's uploaded into my student chart yet.
So it usually takes, I don't know when they sent it, but it usually does take, like, I think they say it could usually take like 10 days.
Which is wild.
Because they have to, like, review it and review the, like, accreditation and whether it actually matches, like, the type of training that you're, or the type of degree that you're going for. Right. So that makes sense.
So I'm hopeful that I won't have to take very many prereqs, considering I've taken so many already through both Ivy Tech and ACC. So I'm just waiting for that right now, but I have to ask the advisor, like, okay, what classes should I sign up for? Because I don't want to take a class I don't need.
Yeah.
You know, and they have the same thing that like Ivy Tech had, which is a school class that you're required to take that basically, you know, tells you all about being in school and blah, blah, blah. And so it's called PACE. That's the class I'm signed up for. That's a requirement because that's their school requirement, which is fine. I don't have any issues with that. It's going to be an easy A. But, like, I don't know what else to sign up for right now. I know what I would like to sign up for, but I don't know what I'm eligible to sign up for because my credits haven't transferred yet.
No.
So, and then, yeah, that's what I've been putting some focus into.
I mean, at least you have some time because you, like, that's 2 weeks away.
True. And, like, and I just emailed her today. I finally got my student email set up because I was having issues with it. And I was just like, man, why am I having so many issues? But it was because I wasn't going through the actual app. Because it uses Outlook for the student email.
Oh, that's different.
Right. I was like, okay, all right. I kind of understand why they do that because you get a free Microsoft
Microsoft 365 account, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I kind of understand that. That makes sense. But I have to go through the actual, like, Outlook app to be able to log into my email. I can't just log in from a browser because for some reason it says I'm not allowed access. Which is weird, but
that's weird. So I mean, that's exciting. That I'm sure they'll probably over the next week or so have the rest of the content and upload whatever hours or credits you can transfer from Ivy Tech or ACU,
ACC.
And then you'll get to choose what classes you want to take. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited because they actually have an English class that is all about mythology and like how mythology influences literature. And I'm super stoked about that because that is the kind of thing I want to study.
Do they do like out of state tuition too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did get approved for financial aid, and I already accepted the loans that they offered me, which means that I can apply to the government to have my student loans paused again.
Yeah.
Since I'm back in school, which they were on a forbearance right now because of all the flooding. Oh. So, because my county... The county I live in Texas, was hit really hard by all the flooding. So they extended a forbearance to everybody living in that in our area.
That's surprising.
I know.
So one thing, since we're talking about school, I did find out there was a Zoom that you're not required to be there for them, but. There was a Zoom that was held that was kind of talking about the class and what the structure of the class actually is, which was helpful. And I listened to the video or watched the video. I really listened because I didn't watch it because I don't care to watch it. I was doing something else while I was listening to it. And apparently, so this class, there's a bunch of stuff in like the actual classroom itself. but you don't actually have to do any of the like coursework for every week, because there's like every week there's not an assignment, but there's stuff to do. And there is a Dropbox for our unit assignments. And every week there's like a journal assignment that's due, but it's really just like a check-in that we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of see, show that we're being active in in the classroom, and we're working on our stuff. And I don't remember when she didn't really say, and she wasn't really for certain. She couldn't remember when, but we're supposed to submit like our updated versions of our chapters 1 and 2 3 times to have them reviewed and get feedback. And then we're also supposed to send her our instructor. That's the other thing. I do have a different instructor, which is good. I didn't find that out until Sunday, because I was like, if I have the same instructor, and I told my student advisor this, I was like, if I have the same instructor, then this is going to be useless, because they didn't give me feedback and the feedback didn't come in a timely manner.
Right.
And if I just have the same instructor, then it's not going to make any difference than the class that I just did. So I was going to be frustrated if I did. And then when I logged in on Sunday last week, or this past week, I saw that it was a different instructor. So part of it is to send the comments and like a word version, the word version of the assignment that we submitted in Unit 8. To the instructor that we have, and then they would review it, and then we are supposed to schedule some time to meet and kind of walk through what things we need to change, what we need to improve on. And I have a meeting with them or her on Monday at, I think it's like 6 p.m. To just talk about what the feedback means, because to me it's like their personal opinion that it doesn't apply to a doctorate level research project. Mm-hmm. And like my argument is that while it isn't education specific, where I'm looking at like a university or a college or elementary or secondary or primary school, most adults do their learning in a corporate or a work environment. And this is applicable to most adults that do their learning. While it might not be applicable to the education specific workplace training and workplace programs where they develop training and curricula, is education.
Right.
Whether they feel like it is or not, that is irrelevant. Because when you look at most of the people that are learning, they're doing their learning on the job through a corporation or some type of work environment where there's a curriculum that's set up for them.
Right.
So saying that it's not applicable or it needs to be more in line with education, I don't agree with, because of what I just said. It is technically education. While it's not college, primary, secondary school, it is still education.
Right. And I mean, I would agree with you.
Yeah. And like reviewing it and seeing like what the impact and whether it increases the effectivity of a curriculum is the intent of my entire degree. I think the main issue is they want me to like come out and say it exactly like that. And I've always been told to like make it, like, you don't ever just want to come out and just say, like, this is what it is. You want to explain it and go into detail about what it is instead of just being like, here's what it is. And right. I think that's what they want. I'm like, I don't, like, to me, that's weird that you would do that, because you want to explain, like, here's the process, here's the impact, and here's why I'm doing it, which is what I did and what I assumed I did. And based on the rubric, what they want. And I was telling Karen, I'm like, if it's that they don't feel like, if I look at the rubric and I'm saying, okay, I'm checking the rubric as I'm writing this, I'm meeting this, this is where I see this, this is where I see this. But then I turn it in and they're like, well, I don't see where you met this. Then there's something wrong with your rubric and you need to add more detail to your assignment.
Right.
I get that you need to leave it open because not everyone's assignment is going to be the same. But if it's that big of a difference where I feel like I met it and then I turn it in and you're saying that I was nowhere near it, then that's an issue with your rubric that you need to take a look at and review and figure out what you need to do to change your rubric or change your assignment description to meet the expectation so that a student can understand, here's what we expect you to see from you.
Right.
Because right now there's 10 people in this class. There were less than 10 people in my ED810. So there's more people in this extension course than there was in my original course.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me means that's an issue.
Right.
Like if there are more people in an extension, then you need to look at your program because there's something wrong with your program that you're either not providing enough success for the students to where they're having enough contact with their RPC, which, like I said, I had no contact with my RPC except for the very beginning and then the end where they told me that it wasn't efficient or it wasn't sufficient.
Right.
And my instructor emailed me a few times. We met once, and when we did meet, there was no way that I could focus because he was in a freaking cafe because that's where he works. And it was very loud and he was just used to it. And I'm like, that's not how this works. I'm paying you. You're meeting me. This is the time that we selected that this would work. You need to be in a place where there's no distractions.
All right.
So I don't know. I'm just going to meet with her on Monday and see what she kind of feels like I need to do. Ask for some very specific clarification on what they mean by some of these specific things and be like, I need you take a look at it and break down exactly what they're talking about because I don't understand. Because from what they're asking to me, it just seems like they don't like my topic, even though we talked about it and they don't feel that it applies to an education setting, which I totally disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. I did in my very first discussion before she said that we didn't actually need to do any of this stuff. I did go in and do an introduction and I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
So it says, hello, everyone. My name is James Morton. I'm originally from the small town of Spencer, Indiana, but currently live in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. While I do not have experience in traditional education settings like primary, secondary school, or college, I am a training and development specialist for Boston Scientific, where I oversee the training curriculum of around 750 employees. Through my work with Boston Scientific, I have been able to move from Indiana to California in 2019 and then to Rhode Island in 2021 to work for the distribution center in Massachusetts. I am proud to say that I achieved my master's in instructional design and technology in 2023 and ended my degree with 4.0 GPA. The primary focus of my applied research project is to review the effectiveness of implementing videos and visual aids into the learning curriculum of frontline employees and study the impact of learning curriculum that adapts to the learner and provides them with engaging and interesting concepts as one of the best ways to ensure the learning is consumed and retained. Including videos and visual aids not only helps with engagement part of the learning process, but also allows the learner to develop a deeper connection with the content. While I am a little confused and frustrated with the outcome of being required to take an extension course, especially since I had a 4.0 GPA until the ED810 course, I'm here to figure out exactly what the issues were with my initial two chapters and get some guidance on what I need to do to change or improve upon upon it to make it more appropriate. Thanks, James Martin. Well, I said cheers, James Martin. I always end mine with cheers.
Fair.
So we'll see. I'm kind of, like I said in this, I'm a little frustrated. And now my GPA went from a 4.0 to, let's see, what is it now? 3.73.
Dang.
But she also said in the recording that when we finish this grade or when we finish this, it will then kind of supplement in for the actual grade from that class and it'll change that to whatever it was supposed to be. So it'll probably go back to being a It will go to being an A. Based on the completion of this, which that was one of the things that I wasn't really sure about and confused about, and no one could really tell me, because my student advisor they don't really understand how the ED classes work because they're not really the same as the regular classes, and they have no they don't even like sign us up for them. It's their boss basically that signs us up for them. So we don't move on until the end of each class. So we'll see. I'm, like I said, a little frustrated and annoyed, but whatever. I don't know if I told you this last week, but I did buy a printer.
You did tell me that last week.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Because I had already printed it off and showed you the printed version.
Yep.
So that's going to be part of like the change that I'm doing, is kind of focusing on printing things off and doing the actual review and highlight and whatever with them. And then when they provide feedback, because of how difficult it is to actually read on the platform itself, I'm going to print it out and read it and make sure I make edits as needed. But we'll see.
There you go.
So moving from that to something else, I don't know where this came from, but we were cleaning up around the apartment, getting ready for Ryan's mom to come and stay. And I found a receipt from, I'm assuming, what is rent from Indiana. And it's insane because it's November 2nd, 2017. I don't remember ever. Well, I do. It's crazy how long ago it's been. How long it's been since I've paid this little amount of rent.
Oh, God. All right. How much was it?
$710 a month. In 2017. Cut to today when I'm paying $2,100 in rent.
Right. I was literally just telling somebody the other day about how much in rent Donnie and I paid for our first apartment. Like, after we got married.
Yeah.
And it was like $550.
Yeah.
For a two-bedroom. That was 2012. Yeah, we moved in 2012 because we moved in shortly after I started working at the BMV. So yeah, 2012.
Yeah, I moved in 2015 and I think it was six something. And then by 2017, it had gone to 710. And then I moved to California in 2019. And was still paying rent in Indiana and in California. And the rent in California was like $2,000.
Yeah.
And then when I moved back, I think the apartment that we were renting, it was like just under $1,000. And it wasn't a good apartment. It was a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Flat. And it was terrible because it was in the same like apartment complex that you were living in that one time.
Yeah.
Because at this point the arch, I think is what it was eventually, but it used to be Colonial Crest. It had been condemned and they were tearing it down and replacing it with something else.
Right. Which is still wild to me that like that whole, because like
that hole, that's exactly their end of sentence. That hole, that place was a hole.
That's true. It was because we lived there. Donnie, Chris, and I, we lived there. Oh, God. From like 2010 to 2012. Because we moved in shortly after my mom got remarried. But yeah. And then we like literally moved across the way because we switched apartments.
Yeah.
And then I moved back in there when I was living with you and Ryan.
For that short stint.
Yeah, before y'all abandoned me for California.
Hey, you had an apartment to live in while you were there. It was totally yours. You could have done whatever you wanted with it. I was paying for it. You could have done anything. I know. And then it wasn't even that long that you moved to Texas.
I know.
It was like less than 6 months, wasn't it? You moved to Texas.
It was very fast, actually. Everything kind of went whoo-wee.
Yeah. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about is the book that I told you about, the Let Them Theory. Yeah. Have you looked into it? Did you see anything about it?
I did not look deeper into it. I apologize.
It's okay.
I did not do it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it does look like it is only on Audible. So you would only be able to listen to it via Audible. There's a physical book form of it, but I do think, to me, just listening to it, it seems like something that would be good for you, because the intent around this theory that Mel Robbins, so it's the Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins and her daughter, Sawyer Robbins, I think is the daughter's name. Yeah, Sawyer Robbins. And so the idea is basically whenever something happens or someone is feeling emotions about something that you're doing or has an opinion about something that you're doing or something that happens in your life, the idea is to let them have their emotions and understand that that's their emotions, that's their problem, but don't let it have an impact in you in the way that that it would typically have. So there's two parts to the Let Them Theory that she talks about. There's Let Them and then Let Me. And Let Them is basically they're free to have their emotions. Let them have their emotions. Let them be in their feels. But then also the Let Me part is how do you respond to it? And what do you do to kind of change the narrative? Or how do you respond to it? So what is your emotional response to it? And you're 100% in control of your own emotional response 100% of the time. And what you do with that and how you let it impact you will kind of manage your success or your whether you move through it or let it completely destroy you. And I think before I read this, I keep listening to it and I'm like, I've said this for a really long time, because like I've been telling you that for a really long time, that it doesn't matter what other people say or what other people do or how they react to things that you do. It's how you respond to it, because you can regulate your emotions however best you can. Yeah, there's a lot of times when it's very difficult to regulate your emotions. And that's one of the things she does say in the book, that you're going to have a knee-jerk or a gut reaction. And the idea is to, yes, feel those, but then how do you use those and respond? Working through like the best way to respond, and instead of shooting off a text message because when you're super really frustrated and mad, like think about it and decide, why am I having this emotional response? Is it because of something that I think, or is it because of something that I feel that person is going to think of me? Mm. Or is that because I know that that person feels this specific way about a choice that I made in my life, but does it really impact me, or is it kind of their own personal problem? And then if it's like, it's because of like the way that they're going to react and they're going to judge me, but it's like, okay, so why does their judgment matter to you? And what does that impact your life? How does that have an impact on your life? And I will say there are some of the examples that she gives in the book where I'm just like, I wouldn't have that reaction. And the last one that she was just talking about in the last chapter, because I think I'm on like chapter 10 now, chapter 9. It was about a caller that she had call into her podcast, and he had realized that he wasn't super excited about his wedding coming up. He was actually having a lot of doubts and a lot of regret, and he knew that he probably wouldn't be happy if he went through with the wedding. And he was looking for some ideas about what to do. And she was basically like, I think the thing with all these, like, I have a question or I have a dilemma and I need your input. It's less that you need my input and more that you need me to confirm what you wanted to do and say, yes, I think what you're talking about doing is fine. And she was like, and while I'm telling you this story, I'm sure you had this reaction that was like, oh, this poor guy, what does he need to do? Your stomach like tightens, your chest flutters, or your chest tightens, your stomach flutters, and you start to kind of freak out about it. And I was like, not really. Just call off the wedding. Move on. Like, that's my response. Yeah, sure, people are going to be pissed, but who cares? It's your wedding. It's your life. If you know you're not going to be happy with that person, why waste the time going to a wedding, getting married, then to then turn around in months or weeks later and just decide this isn't going to work. We're both miserable. You can be happier with someone else. And I think I could probably be happier with someone else. And now we have to go through a massive divorce or an annulment or whatever and pay extra money. It's like, yeah, your parents are going to lose out, or whoever paid for the deposit on the venue is going to lose out. They're going to lose money for the wedding cake, the caterer, all that. But it's like, who cares? It's just money. And if someone's mad at you, if that ruins their relationship with you, then that tells you more about that person and your relationship with them than it does you. Now, I will say there are some times where you can be a little too selfish about it. And if it becomes a habit and becomes like a continuous thing, then there's probably something you need to look at inside right, yourself.
You. For the listeners at home, this is a classic example of James being a Capricorn. Like, literally classic example. The one time that you brought up, like, the idea of you getting married was literally for the practical reasons of it not at all for the romantic reasons of it whatsoever. It was all practicality.
Yeah.
So you are a very practical person. Now, am I going to...
No, Libra, you're not.
Am I going to feel like, you know, upset on behalf of somebody else?
Yes.
In that scenario, not as much as you would think.
I think you say that, but if you're very close to that person, you do.
Yes.
I think it depends. That, yeah.
I think it depends on the situation. Where it changes for me. It's like, I have to have an emotional investment in the individual that I'm hearing a story about for it to impact me, because I'm over here and I'm like, I don't have butterfly feelings or anything like that. This person, you know, has a relationship that clearly they're not enjoying as much anymore.
Yeah.
And they need to call it off. I do understand why people tend to stay in toxic relationships, but I don't understand why people tend to stay in toxic relationships. Like, logically, I understand, you know, that people get stuck in these patterns, but then at the same time, I'm over here like, why do we do this?
I mean, you technically stayed in a pretty toxic relationship for a really long time.
I mean, that is accurate. I also married somebody that I was having doubts about marrying.
You also are, I mean, you're still in a relationship with him, whether it is actually like a relationship.
I mean, yes, legally we are still tied to each other.
Yeah.
And it's been 14 years. Like, let that sink in. 14 years.
Yeah, you're old.
Not just that, but like, we got married in 2011 and we separated in 2016, and here it is almost 10 years later and I'm still legally married to him.
Yeah. I like that. So at what point is it just like a de facto divorce?
I don't know, but I don't like, think
is that a thing yet. I don't think Indiana has that thing though. I don't think that's a thing either. But there were some parts about the theory that she was talking about as she was going through it at the beginning. And I was like, let them. And I'm like, my mind, I'm editing it to fuck them and who cares instead of let them. But then I also, she's like, you'll feel like sometimes you're alienating people or you're like, she talked about an example where some of her friends went on a vacation and she saw pictures and she was really excited when she first saw the pictures. But then when she started looking at them closer, she was like, oh, these are all my friends. I wasn't invited to this. Why wasn't I invited to this? And she was like, I was having a really good day. And then I saw this and then it started like it. My brain turned and I was obsessed with looking through their profiles and looking at the different, like the all the different pictures that they were posting, what all they were doing. And I was like, what did I do to them? What did I do to make them mad at me? What changed? Why are they mad at me? And then my husband walked in and he was like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And she was telling him about that. And he was like, so you're not even that close of friends with them. I was like, why were you having that emotional reaction to someone going on a vacation? She was like, I realized I hadn't been that close with them anymore. And that's where the let me theory comes, or let me a portion of it, the theory comes in, where I need to say, do I want to continue with this relationship with them and look at myself and see where I could have been more involved with our friendship and then maybe would have been invited to this girl's night where they went to like Mexico or something. I don't remember what she said. Or do I understand that relationship had its point in time where now it's no longer like our friendship. That's there. Like we interact with each other every now and then, but it's not the kind of friendship that we would go on a vacation with each other. And if I want to cultivate it and make it to more of a relationship where we do go on vacations and we hang out a lot more, what actions do I need to take to make it that way? And I was like, it was just a vacation. Who cares? Move on. But right. Then it does remind me of some of the things that like some of my friends or some of our friends may do. And I'm like, yikes. That's I understand like where they're coming from. I don't connect with it because I never have that reaction. I'm just like, cool, who cares? They did something together and didn't include me. That's fine. That's not my relationship with that person. Like, that's their relationship. We can have separate relationships and separate interactions, but still be the same friends.
I'm sending you a chat.
Oh, yeah.
Of the person that immediately came to mind.
Yeah.
Because we had something like this happen where we had taken a high school friend out with us for dinner. It was you, me, and Sam, and then this other friend.
Yeah.
And like the four of us had gone out for dinner. It was really nice. We had a great time, but we didn't invite her to the next get together, but like not out of malice or anything like that. It was just a habit that it was the three of us.
Yeah.
You know, we usually, you know, did everything together. And she just wasn't part of that dynamic at that time. And she made it into a huge deal, completely yeah. blew up at us.
I think, yeah, so that's the other thing that in this book, she's like, you have to remember that most adults are just emotionally 8-year-olds. And their response is the same as an 8-year-old would have to a situation. And it's because they never had anyone when they were younger that walked them through how to analyze their emotions and understand their emotions and then how to make a civilized reaction to something right. happening to them.
Nobody taught them how to regulate themselves.
Yeah. And it's like that happens a lot with a lot of adults and even like where I work, it's like a lot of people. I'm like, why are you reacting like this? Why are you doing this? And it's because they're like in their emotional state. They're children and they don't understand that sometimes it's not acceptable to throw a fit at work when you have something not go your way. Like, I can think of this, like, right now, there's a situation where someone asked me to help them with their resume, and I was like, oh, cool, I can help you with your resume. And they were asking me questions about, like, what do I need to do with my resume? Is there something I need to change? And I looked at their resume, I was like, well, there's a bunch of stuff on here that I wouldn't leave because it's not really applicable to the job that you're applying to. And it's from so long ago that things have changed so much. It's like more than 20 years ago. Things have changed so much in 20 years that it really doesn't apply anymore to what you're what the job that you're applying for and what you're going to be doing. And they were like, no, I think it still does. I was like, okay, I can't tell you to take it off and make you take it off. If you feel like it applies, then keep it on there. Whatever. That's up to you. Well, I don't know if they didn't. If they've been told that they didn't get the position yet or not, but I know that they didn't because I did talk to the hiring manager and ask what she thought and or what that person thought and like what they thought about the person. And they kind of explained like the situation. And then the person reached out to me again and they were asking me questions about like, what do they need to do and how can they meet with them and like discuss it. And I was like, really, you need to, and this is like, not any specific person, I would give this same feedback to everyone that had applied for a job and didn't get it. It's that you need to meet with your current supervisor and ask them, like, put together a development plan with them. Like, what are your goals? What do you want? Why do you think that you feel like you are a fit for a job that you're applying for? And if they see that there's some things that you need to work on, ask them how they can help you work on them, because that's your supervisor's job. Yes, it's to make sure you do your job, but their role is also to help develop you and move you into the next position that you want to move into. And if they're not doing that, then you need to find someone that will. And they were like, well, the supervisor's against me and they don't want to help me. And I'm like, I don't know that that's true. Yes, I agree that this specific supervisor doesn't do a very good job at the development portion of it, but it's also because they're not very developed themselves. So you might need to reach out to a different supervisor or find a mentor or find someone that you look up to that you think can help you with the things that you need to, and then work with that person and work on a development plan and present it to your supervisor and say, this is what we came up with. What can I do to like develop these specific tasks or these specific key processes? And like, that's totally your responsibility to be the person that leads your development. And like, I can bitch about not being able to move into a different position, but then it's also like, you have to take a look at what you're doing, because I've done it and I am currently in that example. But I'm also reaching out to different parts of the business that I do want to move into, like talent development and different areas, and being like, I want to help you with something so that I can then make an impact on you and then the people that I would potentially work with in the future, because I want to move into this area. And if I just sit back and say, well, I don't get anything, I don't get any opportunities or any action or options to do these things, and then don't do anything about it, then like, that's the issue. You're not being the steward of your development and the person that's leading what you want to do with your job. So you are one, like, just like your emotions, you're 100% in control with what you do with your future and how you kind of move your way through what you want to do. If you're not getting what you want from your supervisor, find someone that you will get what you need from and work with them. And ask even if it's on your own time. Like, if you need to do it on your own time, that sucks, but that will help you, and it shows initiative that you want that job and you want that new position and that new development. Saying that, oh, I only want to do it if it's within my 8 to 10 or 8 to 5, 9 to 5, 9, 8:30 to 9, 8:30 to 5, whatever your regular shift. If you're saying that I'm only going to do it if it falls within my regular shift, then you're not really that interested in your own development. You just want it to be given to you, which it no, not always is. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. I don't think you should have to do it outside of your job if it's something that is for your job. It's not fair, and I totally understand that, but like the old saying goes, life's not fair. Just figure out how you can make that unfair to your advantage.
I think the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that you can't just go into something and not look at your motivations behind it as well.
Yeah.
Like, if, for like in the example that you're talking about, you know, being the own your own steward, you also have to recognize, like, have a sit down talk with yourself and recognize what it is that you're doing on your end. Like, it takes a lot of self-reflection, and a lot of people, I think, don't want to do that work of self-reflection.
Yeah.
To be able to better themselves in different ways, because self-reflection kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who's been doing that a lot recently. And it's sometimes you just have to recognize that, okay, yes, this behavior stems from this incident or whatever. And how are you going to work with that? How are you going to work around that? How are you going to change that? Like, what can you do in that time of self-reflection to be able to make things better in other areas? So I definitely agree with like what you're saying about you have to be a steward and you have to, you know, figure out what it is that you want, but you also need to self-reflect to get to that point.
Yeah. I think the thing that kind of I also want to reinforce with this person and people is, you kind of touched on it, is motivation. Like, what is your motivation to your development? If it's just because you want to make more money, sure, that's motivation. But like a company, if you think of it from a business standpoint, they're not going to do something just because you want to make more money. Like, yeah, everyone wants to make more money. That can't be your only motivation. Like, do you want to be more fulfilled in the job that you do? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like what you're doing currently doesn't really challenge you or doesn't really utilize all of your abilities? And if so, what are those abilities you would like the next role you move into to kind of tap into and challenge? And how can you build and display those, like on a project basis where you help with something that displays your talent and displays the abilities that you have and you feel like you have that you could contribute, and start contributing those in other ways that are outside of your regular job? If you'd like to job shadow, discuss with your supervisor what you can do, like work out a schedule where you can get away and start actually doing something on your regular shift, but still focus on your job. Like there are things that you can do that it will take a lot of pitching and a lot of sales, like on your end, to sell to your manager or your supervisor. But at the end of the day, if it's like you can spin it in a way that this is the value that I think it will add to the company, to the business, and make the impact to the business, then it's going to be harder for them to say no if it's going to display like you're changing the business and improving how the business works. Mm-hmm. Will they say no? Can they say no? Yes.
Yes.
Is it good for them to say no? Not all the time, no. But again, they all are also thinking of who's going to do what you're doing now while you're away doing what you're proposing.
Right.
And if you have a proposal and have a solution to that, then there's less of a resistance to them to say, there's less of an option for them to say yes or no. Is it still possible? Absolutely. But there's less resistance if you have like here's my detailed plan of what I'm going to do. These people can kind of step in and do what I'm doing currently while I go and help with this. And it's going to be small, but it's also going to help out the company this way. Does it suck that you have to put in all that effort? Yes, but if you're not putting in any effort, then you're not going to get anything. If you put in effort and you don't get anything still, yes, it sucks, but at least you can say you tried.
Right. At least you can say that you know that you did everything that you could on your end.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is important. A lot of people, myself included, sometimes that feels really daunting and terrifying, like that you're going to go through all that effort and still be rejected. And again, I feel like that's a moment where you have to really self-reflect, and like recognize why you're feeling concerned about somebody else rejecting you.
Yeah.
And all that. Like, let me just tell you, okay, because I have a lot of mental health issues, as anybody who listens to the show knows. I have a lot of mental health issues, and I've spent a good deal of my life trying to work through and work with said mental issues, to try to function better. And at this point in my life, I feel like it requires a lot of self-reflection. You have to really take the time to sit down and get to know yourself to be able to put into practice a lot of the things that you want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put the effort, you know, into yourself first to be able to put the effort into everything else.
And it's a very difficult task.
It is. It's hard. It's hard because I feel like, and I don't know, like, if this is an experience that you've had, because we had very different childhoods. I have to do a lot of reparenting for myself. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that I have to go back and I have to be like, okay, this is why I felt this way, but that does not mean that that is accurate to the situation at hand.
Yeah, and I think, like you said it, we had very different childhoods, but then when I look at it and I'm like, I had the same childhood basically as my siblings did, but it wasn't like everything that happened to me also happened to them, although some things that happened to them or happened to me didn't really happen to them. And my experience is very different from theirs as well, because I am a gay man in a very conservative, backwards state that we lived in at the time. And my experience, my relationship with my family was very different than their relationship with the family. And my emotional response to some of the things that happened was very different than their emotional response. And like, I look at my sister and I love my sister to death. She's insane, crazy. And she used to be so intelligent and made so many good decisions when she was in high school. And like, she was straight A's, she did really great in school, she had a lot of great friends, she did a lot of good stuff in her school. And then once she got out of school, it kind of just fell and nothing changed. Everything kind of, like, any inconvenience was like, why is this happening to me? Why does that person get this benefit over me? And yeah, it does suck, and there are some times when, and like, that was just what was in the last chapter of the book. There are times when people do have different advantages over you, and that sucks. But it's like what you do and what you do to kind of close that gap is what helps you kind of understand that you're never going to have that advantage that person has. You're never going to have, like, you weren't born into a rich family. You weren't born into a family that owns a business or something like that. And you're never going to have that because you can't change what has happened. All you can do is change how you kind of let that drive or that change determine where you're going. are you going to be a defeatist and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it? Or are you going to say, well, what are the advantages that I do have? And how can I use these kind of maybe disadvantages to my advantage and reflect and kind of build on a skill that I don't currently have, or a problem that I'm seeing that I can kind of close or end? And that's like, that's your role as a person, as a human being in the world. To look at your life and see what are ways that you can improve it, and what actions can you take to make those steps to improve it.
Right.
As you were saying, I'm a very pragmatic person. I'm super detail oriented, and my emotions don't typically play into my decision making. Because
my emotions play into my decision making a lot.
And like, I think my reason behind it is it's not really about my emotions. It's about like, what can I gain from what I'm going to do? My emotions and how other people feel about what I do don't really play a role in my life, and haven't for a really long time. Just like moving to California, it was very difficult to move to California. I was going to miss my family and miss my like the friends that I was working with. But it was good for my development and good for my mental health and just me as a person to get out of Indiana and away from some of the toxic people that I did work with, because they were challenging and causing issues that were out of my control. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I moved to California, it was a whole group of new people, a whole new experience, a whole life that I didn't have in Indiana. Same thing with moving out here. I didn't really know anyone when I moved out here. I still don't know very many people, but the people that I do work with and the relationships that I have at work are relationships that I wouldn't have had if I stayed in Indiana.
Right. I definitely think that there's something to be said about like taking the leap sometimes as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And failure is always an option. Failure sucks, and having to kind of go back to where you don't want to be and like completely start over at square one does suck, but sometimes it happens, and it's just like, how do you respond to it, and what do you do with that kind of issue that you run into, and the roadblock that you hit? Like, a roadblock is just that, it's a roadblock. How do you get around it? Mm-hmm. And how do you tear down that roadblock is how, like, determines how you move forward. Just like my degree, this extension course is a roadblock. I have to deal with it, figure out what I need to do to move forward, and learn from the experience of, okay, this didn't meet my RPC's expectations or understanding of the rubric and what we needed. So what do I need to do to meet that person's expectations so that I can move forward? Is it going to be what I want to do? Probably not. I'm not going to get a new RPC, obviously, because that's what I've been told, which sucks, but it's just a roadblock and a hurdle that I had to figure out how to get over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fun times. Well, anyways, what are you doing this weekend? Doing anything fun?
I am going swimming tonight, actually.
That's fun.
I haven't been swimming in ages. So I'm very excited about that. I'm going to go swimming. I'm going to spend some time with Nick. And the other stuff that I'm doing is I'm cleaning out my room. I'm trying to get rid of stuff that I don't need that I'm just hanging on to.
What is it called? Marie Kondoing your room?
Kind of a little bit.
Does it bring you joy?
It's more of, I've just realized that I'm hanging on to like so many clothes, boxes in particular.
Oh. My issue is boxes.
I mean, fair. But no, like in particular, I've got like a lot of clothes that I'm not wearing. Like, I'm not wearing them, and they're just sitting there taking up space. So
yeah.
Why am I doing that?
I guess that's a good question. Why aren't you wearing them? is the first question you need to ask. Mm-hmm. Can you see yourself wearing them? And if the answer is no, that you can't see yourself wearing them, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Donate it. Don't throw it away.
Right, which is what I'm planning on doing. It's like either donating or repurposing.
Yeah.
Because like there's a couple pairs of jeans that I have that like I'm not wearing the jeans, but I have other pairs of jeans that I do want to be wearing that have holes that need repairing. So it's like I could use that fabric to repair and repurpose these other pairs of pants that I do want to be wearing. So it's a matter of like figuring out, okay, what am I keeping because I'm going to repurpose it? And what am I donating because I don't have any reason to keep it? Like I'm not wearing it. I'm not going to repurpose it. So why do I have it?
Yeah.
You're making me
trying to get the left-field seasoning, the tension tamer tea. It's in a box. There's six of them, and I was like trying to grab them out of this very tight box. So I was struggling.
I get that. What about you? What are you doing this weekend?
Well, today I'm going to put on the rest of this, not the rest of this, but put on this book and continue putting together this entertainment center for the second bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then clean it up a little bit more, straighten it out a little bit more. And then I have a lamp that I bought to put next to my chair and actually use, but then I find myself not using it very much. So I'm going to move that into the bedroom.
Okay.
So that Ryan's mom then has another light source in that room, because right now there's really only two and they're very small and don't really give off much light. So that room is kind of dark. So I'm going to move that around and get that room kind of situated and ready, do some laundry, and then edit the podcast while watching a movie or something. And also tomorrow, Ryan and I will go get lunch or something at some point. But then I'm going to make him come back and actually finish cleaning up around the apartment so that it's a little bit more presentable than for someone else to come in. Like his bathroom, he needs to clean up the bathroom that he uses and straighten it up because it's a mess right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he does this, but for some reason he'll take, especially like medicine packets and stuff, and leave them in a drawer while they're empty. So there's just a drawer full of empty medicine packets. Okay. And I'm like, I want to burn it down. Like, it drives me nuts that he does this, because I'll go in, I'll look for something, and I'll open that drawer and I'm like, why are these here? What is this?
Right.
And it's not just medicine packets. It's also like, we both wear glasses, so it's like glasses wipes packets that have been opened and used, and the glasses wipes are like now dried out and junk, and it's like, why isn't this in a trash can? Why is this here? Why is it not in a trash can?
Right.
Because there's some beside his side of the bed that was in, like, the old bed that we have in the other room. Mm-hmm. I was looking as I was moving things around in that room, and I was like, why are there lens wipes that have been used just on the ground? Why is this here? Why are these things here? But then I look around and I'm like, I have boxes that are just sitting around because they need to be thrown out. And I just haven't taken them out to the dumpster yet, because it's like, it's such a far walk to the dumpster. Like, I have to walk out my apartment, down the hall, down some stairs, across the parking lot, just to go to the dumpster.
Right.
I mean, could I open my window and just chuck it out the window and then go pick it up? Yeah. Would that be very trashy of me? Absolutely. Oh, and so for those of you that have gotten this far into the episode, you've already noticed that at the beginning of the episode, I think, I don't know, it really depends on, because I've only listened to it in Apple Podcasts, so I don't know how it works in Spotify. There are ads on our podcast now, so
it does work on Spotify as well.
Okay, I didn't know, because I think I started listening to one episode, but I didn't I didn't listen to another one, and it didn't happen on one of the episodes that I watched or I listened to, and I didn't really listen to all of it. So it could have been somewhere in between. But we do have ads on our podcast now. So I have added a feature where the system will automatically throw in some ads. We have no control over the ads that are thrown in. So if you hear something and you're like, that doesn't really go with them, that's not my fault.
Yep.
That's not our fault. We do not decide what the ads are. We do not decide the placement of the ads. I can start looking at if we want to start deciding the placement of our ads, change it to where it'll come at like a, we'll say, okay, now we're going to take a quick break, and then I'll put it there and it'll cut and take a break in the system. Like, I can tell it to do that. But right now I'm not. So
fair.
For it's Apple Podcasts. Happening. Yeah. So for Apple Podcasts, it did happen at the beginning of the episode, at least the one that I listened to.
The one that I listened to is Spotify. It also started at the beginning of the episode.
I think it does automatically default to beginning of the episode. So that's totally fine. So we'll see. And if you don't like it, let us know. We'll change it and we'll put a Patreon up and you can give us money that way. I would like to see like what revenue that we can get. We don't have very many people listening to the podcast. So those of you that are listening, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You're going to start actually giving us some revenue from our podcast, whether it be like 5 cents or $20, whatever. That's something. That's more than what we're doing now.
Right.
But we're also doing things like the postcards and that I just got that I need to go purchase or I need to go pick up, and our business cards.
Mm-hmm.
That have our podcast information on it. So,
which I have been passing out to people. So
honestly, I will say I looked at the analytics and there are a lot more listeners in Austin and that area now.
That's not shocking because I live here. So
yeah, that's good. So it is nice. So hopefully we'll see some more people listen and then also interact. Like I said, on the postcards that I got, we have QR codes for taking that will launch the podcast in your app, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I know there's other apps that people listen to us on, but or can listen to podcasts on, but those are the two main ones. So there's the only QR codes that I included. But then they also have our website. And as always, if you have something that you would like us to discuss, send us a text message or give us a phone call.
I might not be going swimming.
Is it raining? Is it storming?
A huge peal of thunder outside.
That's fun.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see what happens there.
All right. Well, would you like to call it a podcast and end
I think we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you'd like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up on the search, then we're not on that platform. And if there's something you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can send us a text message or leave us a voicemail. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week since this will be coming out on Monday. And Sarah, enjoy your weekend. Hopefully you do get to go swimming and don't get shocked.
Yeah.
There's always tomorrow. If you don't go swimming today, there's always tomorrow.
It's true. There's always tomorrow, as long as it doesn't storm again tomorrow.
Unless it floods.
In which case, let me just go get a bacterial infection.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.